Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Promoting peace, liberty, and prosperity around the clock. LibertyTalk.fm.
Welcome to Living in the Solution with Dr. Elena George. Today we have a special show, a little bit different. I think it's important because we've been speaking a lot about where we are in terms of our health and our freedom. And we've talked about the COVID crisis, the pandemic, health freedom, and how we take care of ourselves. And today we're going to talk about it from a different standpoint, from a spiritual standpoint, and from somebody who can look at this from a biblical standpoint, because I think everything, it all comes back to God, no matter what we think we control, how we think we, it's all about us. It's actually not. And if we can take a bigger view of things, a lot of times it puts things into perspective. And I know from all of the things that have come down the pipe in the last couple of years, if not longer, I've gotten to have a closer relationship with God. And it's given me the ability to live in the moment, not live in fear, take a step back, and have discernment. And when you have that, it gives you so much clarity. It allows you to make choices that are best for you, not out of fear, not because somebody tells you to be part of a whole, but because it's the right thing. And when God leads you, it's a position of power. And today we're going to have somebody who can speak with that or about that and to that. We're going to speak with Reverend Dr. Jason Garwood. He spent his career seeking to both understand and apply the biblical worldview to every single area of his life. He aims to help pastors and churches be better equipped to engage in the Great Commission by teaching Christians how to find their individual purpose in the kingdom of God and learn how to identify and respond to cultural idols. He's a husband to Mary and the father of three remarkable children, and he's authored several books, including The Politics of Humanism, Reconstructing the Heart, and Health for All of Life. And he's a teaching pastor of the Cross and Crown Church in Warrenton, Virginia. He has a Bachelor's of Science in Bible from Cairn University, a Master in Divinity from Missio Seminary, and a Doctor of Theology from Hope Seminary. And he speaks, he is an author, he's somebody who wants to educate. And that's what we need right now, not people talking at us, but people helping lead us to find our center, take our power back, and walk with God. So, Dr. Garwood, thank you so much for joining me today. I'm looking forward to our conversation.
Yes, Dr. George, thank you so much. I'm honored to be here, humbled to be here, and I'm thankful for your work. And a lot of great people like you are out there on the front lines trying to sort through all of these issues. And I too, am very much excited. Excited all day. I couldn't wait to chat with you. So thank you.
Oh, thank you. That's an awesome lead-in. So now that we're both on the same page, let's talk about, I want to know how you came to, this is a big topic that you've covered in your book, and especially I think it's the most recent one, Health for All of Life. I think you've distilled a very important concept, which people don't really think about anymore. And that's how medicine has become driven by pharma, by entities, and not by something that's very easy, very distilled, and what God gave us. The body is self-healing, in my opinion. It is an amazing creation. And we seem to want to try to manipulate it and control it. And ultimately, we're not healthier. We're on more medications, we're sicker, and we're, in my opinion, going down the wrong path, just doing the same thing, expecting a different result. And a Christian doctrine and a Christian mind view of health takes us back away from that, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. Yeah, we talked about with the book in our website, healthfalloflife.com. It's basically you have a pharmaceutical-controlled industry, or you take an approach where it's creation-based medicine. And that's really what the manifesto is all about, is going back to what are the biblical roots of this? How should we think about God's created order? We're made in his image. And how should we think about the body from those presuppositions? Instead of presuppositions in the allopathic world, which is driven by, really in large part, a Darwinian view of man, how we've evolved and things break down and it's So it's created this entire industry built on that erroneous view of man and who man is. And so the book really is meant to go in that direction and say, well, no, like God has made this earth wonderful. So we have natural protocols, things like vitamins and minerals, and so we can have healthy nutrition and all of these different aspects of the human body. We don't need pharmaceutical drugs and synthetic drugs that are petroleum-based, invented and concocted in a laboratory. Those things really have proven to not help at all. You know as well as anyone, we have a health crisis on our hands in this nation, in large part because the pharmaceutical companies have control, and they're getting the results that they're getting because of those presuppositions and because they're not really actually about curing and helping people. It's more of symptom suppression or symptom and condition management. And thus you're once you're in, you're a customer for life. And that's the sad reality of what we have today.
I think you're absolutely right. And there seems to be this superimposition of what we call bioethics, which really is the opposite of what it states. It's not about ethics, it seems to me. It's more about making or decreasing the value of humanity. We seem to be sublimated into the good of the many. And if you're a senior, then you've lived a life and you should be happy to go quietly. And if you're going to cost the system too much money, then we should just make you comfortable. That's the opposite of the Hippocratic Oath. And it seems to be pervading healthcare at this point.
Yeah, I prefer to call it the hypocritical oath because people want to preserve their own dignity, their own health at the expense of the health of others. And yeah, I think you're absolutely right. You approach it. And that's kind of where my mission has been, and that's my ministry. And as the Lord Jesus Christ has been established as Lord, he died and rose again. And so we have this huge worldview in the Bible that speaks to every area of life. And so that's really been my mission lately, has been to, especially in light of the COVID pandemic and the government's terrible response to it, has been to go into that area and say, well, no, the kingdom of God does have something. So, and we do care about life and we value life, and we need to be concerned about some of these issues. It's probably the most pressing thing that we could have because it's in front of us. It's on our news feed. It's on the television. And we see it all the time. And now they're threatening unvaccinated people who have chosen a different health decision. And so there's a lot of pressure. There's a whole lot that goes on. And so the gospel of Jesus Christ speaks to these issues. If we would just stop and think through it.
It's a lot of duress that we find ourselves under. There's nothing, you know, I think you should stand for something always. It's a position of strength. But when you're trying to force people by fear and coercion, and there's a stick involved, there's this. And I mean, I don't know if the churches are, well, some of them are actually. And I would love to get your take on this with the statement of Jesus would do this. You know, it's using emotional blackmail in a sense to make people go along by stating things that are patently untrue. I mean, if the cure is from God, right? God has the ability to heal all. So why would man be superior to that? Science would be the thing that people should lean towards instead of God. I mean, it's like the opposite.
Yeah, there seems to be two types of people that would say that sort of thing. Is one is someone who really doesn't bow the knee to Jesus anyway, so they don't really care what Jesus thinks. But since they're trying to cajole and manipulate evangelicals and Christians, confessional Christians into taking this vaccine, then they will say things like that. They will say, "Well, doesn't your Bible say that you have to love your neighbor? Mm-hmm. What do you want to go around killing people in your unvaccinated state?" Mm-hmm. Those types of things are said. And I think it's very much a fear tactic. And my take on that is I think it's absolutely ridiculous. The Bible tells us what love is. Romans 13 tells us that love is the fulfillment of the law. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll obey my commandments. And we simply don't have any commandments in scripture that says thou shalt bend the knee to science and do whatever quote unquote science says.
Mm-hmm.
And especially when we're operating from the assumption that the human body is a created thing. It's a beautifully created thing, and systems are meant to work a certain way. And when you get into the vaccine discussion, no, Jesus, I don't think he would tell you to get the vaccine, not when it's going to completely disorient your body, especially when the experimental spike proteins and your mRNA vaccine but even other vaccines and what they do to your immune system by suppressing one aspect and triggering the other aspect. And that's why you end up with autoimmune issues. And so I just think people who say that are really operating out of fear, or worse yet, they're really operating out of hatred for their neighbor because they're either jealous or envious or frankly, they just don't like people who won't follow along with whatever the narrative is of the day. And I think that's just really unfortunate.
I couldn't have said it better. On that note, let's take our first break and come back. You're living in the solution. Welcome back to Living the Solution. We're speaking with Reverend Jason Garwood, and he is an author. He has a church in Warrington, Virginia, called the Cross and Crown Church. And I wanted to discuss a little bit about the Warrington Declaration, because what you said before the break, the power of the pastor to be the voice of reason, of the moral voice, and not cede it to the media mob and the people who are trying to impose their will by making things up and calling people names and trying to, obliterate their presence on the internet, etc. The Warrington Declaration to me sounds like it's the pastors have gotten together and have made a stand. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, absolutely. It's for people who may want to go there while they're listening, warrentondeclaration.com. That's WARRENTON declaration.com. And that's really kind of a work in a labor of love, I should say. So our church never closed down. We took, when they told us we needed 2 weeks to flatten the curve, we still met and we wanted to try to get an idea of what was going on. Because for everybody, this was sort of a new thing. And after the 2 weeks turned to, another week and then another week. And we sort of saw it pretty early on by the grace of God that this was something nefarious happening. This was something that, Fauci's telling us one thing in one day and then another thing in another day. And,
mm-hmm.
and I call him Dr. Fraud Chief, because certainly fraud has been committed on various levels. But we sort of wanted to work through these issues. What does the Bible tell us about these things? How should we be thinking about the authority of the state, the civil magistrate that God has indeed given us in scripture for the execution of justice? How do we relate that? And should we go along with mask mandates? Should we go along with vaccine passports? Should we go along with churches shutting down? And we really, the more we thought about it, kind of came and said, well, no, we need to put something together. And so the declaration was that with several people all over the world, quite literally, have signed it. But our original signers were many who we went to and said, hey, this is what we're thinking. Help us refine this. It had some revisions. And then we launched it at the end of June of this year, 2021, because we need to have a declaration on medical mandates and biblical ethics and the issue of authority. And what we've seen too, and I'm sure Dr. George, you've seen this as well, and many of your listeners, I'm sure as well, there really hasn't been a lot of clarity
Mm-mm.
on this issue. A lot of pastors were caught flat-footed. They weren't sure what to do. They hadn't had to think through this before. It was very new territory. And we wanted the declaration to sort of address that so we can have coherency, so we can have an intelligible response. So when people ask us about why our church isn't shutting down, well, we have a biblical precedent. And also there's also people in the church who were mistreated. A friend of mine was not allowed to go to his church unless he would wear a mask, and he refused to do it. They don't work. The science, quote unquote, the science, which doesn't really exist, That's just what we call things that we want to have power over others. The people were mistreated. And so we wanted to lay it out for people and say, these are the points of consideration that we need. I've helped folks secure their religious exemption. This document is perfect for that, to help people get the religious exemption forms for their colleges and jobs and so on. So that it's a document that lays out the doctrinal points of consideration for these issues. And so, maybe it's a little bit too late. It's not too late, but we probably, we would have loved to have it at the front end of this whole thing. But here we are now, and we're trying to spread the word. So I'm thankful that I could come on and talk about it.
Well, I think it's important. And from the health side of this, the Barrington Declaration is pretty much the doctor position on this. And there's never a late time to make a stand and to have people who are looking for, they know it's something not right. They know that they don't want to go along with something that they have a question about. And honestly, there's nothing wrong with questioning authority. I mean, that's where people get into this. I think we're being driven down this line of, if you have a question, there's something wrong with you. And silence is the worst thing that we can do. You have to continue to question. If you have nothing to hide, or if you're telling the truth, questions are not a problem ever. And to not have informed consent because questions are being quashed and they're being scrubbed off the internet, how can anybody consent to something if they don't have all the facts or all the evidence or all the sides to look at? You can't make a decision. You're just being told what to do. And so anything that you do, what you're doing, what the Barrington Declaration does, is to give an alternate view, something that everybody should be questioning and ask themselves, if I can't question this, there's got to be something wrong with, do it now, don't question it, just go along and hope for the best. I hope that makes people wake up. I think people are starting to ask questions, and what was now first a carrot has become a major stick. Over the last couple of days, did you heard that the American Association of AMA and the American Pediatric Association have stated that they think that doctors and nurses and healthcare providers should be mandated to take the vaccine, which is absolutely shocking for me to hear something like that, but not surprising since only 1 in 5 doctors actually belong to the AMA. So they don't represent us, but they get a lot of platform, just like the pastors that are the mega church pastors saying you should do it and like it, and we're at a crossroads, right? So for those people who do love God and who are, whether you're Christian or not, but we're speaking Christian at this moment, how do you stand your ground and you can stay? I mean, faith is really what we're talking about, I think. And it's not easy all the time, but the ability to have faith and to stand in that truth. What do you say to people to get them to focus on that, not on what everybody's going to say about them or think about them or whether their livelihoods are going to be, because we're going to have to make a decision, it looks like, and it's going to be the hard road or the narrow path, but it's the right path.
Yeah, that's a good point. When I should clarify too, Warrington is our city where we're in, Warrington mm-hmm. Declaration. And that's really been a lot of our focus is locally mm-hmm. and trying to get people to think about exactly what you're saying, trying to help people understand that their faith isn't just something that, you do on Sundays. It's not something that you just, do whenever you get around to it. Faith is really your entire worldview. Everybody has faith. You have people who are advocating for faith in their God called science. And even they're willing to lie and cheat and steal to manipulate people into their version of their religion. And what is it that overcomes the world? It's our faith, the Bible tells us. And so faith itself, we need to get to the point where people understand that it is a worldview issue. It's everything that's behind it. It's all your presuppositions. Dr. George, you brought up the issue of authority and questioning authority. And for whatever reason, well, for one, I'll say this. if you have to bully people into it, then you're sort of, you've already lost. You've already lost. That's what Jesus condemns with lording it over people and this idea of power tactics. Christianity is not a power religion. That's the religion of pagans. Christianity is a servanthood dominion religion. It's not power based. We exercise power in the Holy Spirit, of course, but that power is service based. It's not coercive. We don't force ourselves on others. Some might call it the non-aggression principle, but we believe in bodily autonomy in the sense that, yes, you are made in the image of God and you're allowed to decide what you put in your body. And of course, some things are going to have, you know, bad repercussions. Of course, that's not the same argument for the abortion debate, because the body inside your body is not your body. Because if it was your body, you would die, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. So we have to have logical things put in place here. But faith itself is a worldview. It is trust. It is loyalty to something, some God. And we've seen in America, one of my favorite theologians, Dr. R.J. Rushdoony, talks about how when laws change, you have a change in religion. And when humanism has taken a foothold in our nation, this is what you get. You get power. You get control. And I think in order to, I guess, to kind of dovetail back to your question on waking people up, I think we have to sort of open their eyes and say, look around you. This is not normal. This is not okay. This is not helpful. It's worse in some places like Australia and even Canada, pastors being arrested. Mm-hmm. What in the world's going on? For a virus with such a high percentage of survival, I've said this a million times, you would think that had you only watched the TV, that if you were to leave your house and go to the store, that you would be walking over bodies. They're just dropping everywhere. Like you would, that's the narrative they've pushed is fear. And the antidote to fear is always faith. Cause if it's of fear, it's not faith. It's not love. It's not biblical love. It's certainly not biblical law. And that's really where the Warrenson Declaration comes in, where we're trying to say, look, authority belongs to King Jesus. You know, I know this may be shocking to some people, but, it's certainly shocking to the world, but whenever Christians stand up and they start declaring what it is they believe, who's going to be surprised? Oh, Christians believe that Jesus was risen from the dead and he rules and reigns over the nations right now. Of course, Second Chronicles tells us that. Mm-hmm. Jehoshaphat, he said, "O Lord God of our ancestors, are you not God in heaven? Do you not rule over the kingdoms of the nations? In your hand is our power and might, so that no one is able to withstand you." You know, it's, we have to stop apologizing for our doctrinal convictions, and we have to start pressing those things into these issues. And that's hard to do. So I don't know if I fully know the answer to your question, because this is difficult to do. It's difficult to wake people up to see where tyranny leads, to see where government encroachment leads. We've not had much constitutional obedience for a long time, but these executive powers have really proven that it's, you know, it's just going to continue. All you got to do is declare an emergency, and then you get to do whatever you want. And for us, you know, maybe we just need to wake up and tell people and start preaching the true gospel of the kingdom of God.
I couldn't have said it better. I mean, you did answer my question, and it's about us now taking our power back to define ourselves. I think there's been a lot of propaganda and people trying to define what they want to control. They wanted to control doctors, so they defined healthcare. You know, it's about right. You know, science. You know, believe the science, and it's absolutely nothing to do with science. You're absolutely right. And Christians are, and we'll get into this after the break, but Christians want to hate other people. It's all about treating people badly. It was I don't know how to put it. It's a bad way. For lack of a better way, what they believe is what they've hoisted on other people. And we've allowed that because people like to be kind. They like to not make waves and not, you know, have bad blood between people. But ultimately we're gonna have to stand our ground with just empowered and not apologize. And that's really what it comes to. These are bullies. And as soon as you stand up to them, they generally stop. On that note, let's take our second break. You're living in the solution. Welcome back to Living the Solution. We're speaking with the Reverend Dr. Jason Garwood, and he's an author of The Politics of Humanism, Reconstructing the Heart, and Health for All of Life, a medical manifesto of hope and healing for the nations. And before the break, you talked a lot that really people never talk about. And one of the things that really struck me is the fact that we are letting Christianity has been defined as one that wants to control others, that want to define other people and to somehow denigrate people. And you said something I think that people don't really think about. Christianity is about choice. It's always been about choice and about freedom to choose. It's not that way where people are do it my way or no way. It's really the opposite. But it's the people who are trying to control us and demonize us, as the humanists among us, who I think of science as the God and people as subservient to that, especially people of faith. That's what we're moving towards. And the book that you wrote about the politics of humanism, is that what we're living through right now? The public health sector, people who don't practice medicine, who probably never did, who are making these pronouncements, none of them really make any sense because, as you said, it's one thing one day, something else the next day, no common sense or critical thinking at all. And when things come out that are really obviously wrong, they just seem to poo-poo it and keep it moving. They don't seem to have a conscience about it. So what is humanism? Let's define that, because I'm not sure people really...
Sure.
It sounds good, but it's not really what it says, is it?
Right. I mean, some people will say humanism is this, it's just an inquiry into humanity and a sort of a classical approach to a view of man. But humanism, when you attach an ism to it, obviously we're talking about something behind it, doctrinal issues, worldview, those types of things. And humanism, and I lay this out in that book, particular book, is a erroneous view of the centrality of man. And a lot of it has ties to the Enlightenment and rationalism and skepticism and some of the debates of the philosophers, even Kant himself, and going back to Descartes. There are essentially humanism is this belief that man is the maker and mover of all things. And when you believe that man is supreme and not the Lord Jesus Christ, and when you believe that man and his law is best instead of God and his law, when you make that sort of declaration, it has impressive ramifications. Christianity, we were talking about kindness a minute ago. I think Christianity thinks kindness is, many Christians think that Christianity is all about being kind, as if that's the only thing Jesus said to do, when they forget that Jesus, of course, had a moment where he flipped over some tables, made a whip, and started hitting people and getting them out of the temple complex. So was that kind? Was it kind when John the Baptist told Herod he couldn't have his brother's wife? So we got to get rid of that idea, because if you're trying to package Christianity in acceptable terms, you're going to lose every time. Because the world, when it worships its own self, when it worships sin and idolatry, in our day, it's statism. Statism is a result of humanism, where the state becomes an idolatrous pursuit in a society where the state controls everything, affectionately called the beast. When that happens, you have a huge gnarly mess with barnacles attached to every aspect of society, including medicine. And that's why the pandemic went the way it went. COVID didn't decimate our economy. It was the government's response that decimated our economy. And we need to make that distinction and make it clear. So, but kind of going back there, humanism is this belief in the superiority of man. And, it's sort of Genesis chapter 3, where you have man who is trying to know and determine good and evil on his own regard and his own accord. Whereas we know from God and his word that only God is holy, and we need to follow what he says, in his law and his word. But that ties into all of these things. When it comes to the declaration itself and trying to help people have a proper view of authority and having a proper view of civil government and those jurisdictions. The power religion tactic that I mentioned earlier is really just people being bullies. They're trying to bully others into it, and they're starting from wrong presuppositions. And so part of my writing in both of those books you mentioned, How Fall of Life and The Politics of Humanism, is trying to give people a biblical, honest biblical assessment of those issues. Should we be coercing people into getting the vaccine? Well, I would argue, no way. That's an awful thing to do. Should we encourage people to do research? Like you said, the issue of informed consent. We still have emergency authorization. We don't have safety tests. We don't have long-term safety tests on this stuff. And yet everybody thinks that that's going to save them. And all of this started, instead of us crying out to the Lord Jesus Christ to spare us from this plague, because of it's God's judgment that we're such a sick culture, both morally and physically ailed. Instead of crying out to the Lord Jesus Christ, we cried out to Dr. Fauci and Dr. Birx. And we cried out to the CDC. We cried out to the pharmaceutical companies. And that's what we have. We have reaped what we have sown.
I would absolutely agree with that. And just going down the path of who we reached out to without regard to conflict of interest, looking at who stands to gain, following the money, which seems to be, I don't care what the thing is, politics, healthcare, you really have to use those tenets to make determinations and judgments. And I've never seen such a morass of conflict of interest throughout this entire COVID rollout, this treatment rollout.
Yeah.
And it was right in your face. If you could just unhook yourself from the fear factor, you would start to really just be completely outraged at what they pulled. So as you said before, I mean, this is not a, when you look at the overall numbers, it's not a death sentence to get COVID in itself. It's 99%, 0.8% survival rate for people under 50, 99.5%, I think, over above 70. And it's the people who are the most frail who passed from the disease. And it's interesting when you looked at if you followed the internet, you would see things come out from various institutions like Johns Hopkins. They'd put out a statement or a paper. It's the same number of people who died during the outbreak of COVID as the previous year. So there wasn't this huge number of people passing from COVID. It's just how they presented it. And it was cases versus death. It was all these ways of manipulating language and then just hit you over and over with the same thing. But it didn't have any real meaning to it, or the meaning that it was said really wasn't what it really was. I mean, it was all these things. And people I think it was an emotional abuse, quite frankly. And I'm listening to a presentation by a pediatrician who said that the children that they're seeing now who've been in the COVID lockdown mindset don't have a will to live. There's no joy. Can you imagine a child not being able to be a child, and they can't even think of them to the next day? They don't want to take their masks off. The seniors who were locked away, this is just cruel and unusual for something that didn't have to unroll like this. And yet we're still going down a secondary path. I hope it doesn't happen, but I foresee they're going to try lockdowns. They're going to try to do the same thing a second round. How do we get people to wake up and see that this, if it didn't work the first time, what makes you think that it would work a second time?
Right. And we've seen places like Sweden where they didn't lock down.
Exactly.
They did better than us. I mean, you want to talk, quote unquote, the science. Well, let's look at the results. The book, The Price of Panic, which came out last year, was really good analysis of the issue. You're right. It is emotional abuse. And frankly, the big issue that we need to discuss pertaining to what you just said is the issue of gaslighting. Mm-hmm. And trying to demand that someone admit to something that they don't believe, or to bully them into and pressure them into it. And you're right. They are going back to those issues. You had mentioned the survival rate and just the fact that we had a massive problem of suicides too, and all of these mental health issues and what leads to it. I mean, children who are having to figure out I'm a huge advocate for homeschooling, by the way. I don't think the government should be educating anyone. They can't even educate themselves. But I, you know, a lot of changes happen for people there. And I think, you know, one of the things that made me really upset last year was the fact that you had Governor Newsom in California tweeting out and saying things like support local businesses for after, you know, Black Friday and shopping and Cyber Monday but support Small Business Saturday. And I'm thinking, are you kidding me? Like, what sort of spousal abuse situation is this where you have decimated the small businesses in your state and in a lot of them around the country? And yet you're telling everybody to go back and patronize them. I mean, it's just unbelievable. It's disgusting. But this is the fruit of humanism. This is the fruit of what you get in a world where you don't worship and serve the Creator. You don't worship and serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Isaiah says the nation that won't serve you will utterly perish. And, that's sort of my aim too, is to sound the alarm on that particular issue. Because everybody, for whatever reason, everybody earlier on, we were all sort of confused. We all needed time. But as it happens, you know, we locally had a rally locally here in our town where we said, look, you're destroying businesses. We need to reopen. And we tried to encourage our local magistrates to ignore whatever Richmond was saying. Mm-hmm. We're in Northern Virginia. His name escapes me now. He was talking about mandating the vaccine before the vaccines were even, you know, given their authorization, emergency authorization. But we were trying to desperately get people to wake up back then. But this is the issue, though. It's a deep-rooted idolatry. It's a deep-rooted, dare I say, systematic or systemic issue where we just rely on whatever the government says to do our thinking for us. And we need to definitely sound the alarm.
Well, that's why, thank God, you're on the show so that you can wake people up and start that conversation, because it needs to be had. We can't keep, for the comfort of others, not speaking truth to power, because that's really what it's about. On that note, let's take our final break. You're living in the solution. Welcome back to Living a Solution. We're speaking with Reverend Dr. Jason Garwood. And people should go to, you have multiple websites. There's crosscrownchurch.com. There's the warringtondeclaration.com, healthforalllife.com, and the jasongarwood.com. And that's where people can read your blogs, correct? And also buy your book and all sorts of, see where you're going to speak and that sort of thing, right?
Sure. Yes. My website, that information is there. I'm also on Gab. I use Gab a lot because I think Gab's a great platform. On Facebook as well, but use it very little, mostly because I've already been kicked off and they deleted my account after speaking out on the vaccination. I preached a sermon on vaccines and I got deleted. And so that was a whole different issue. But those websites are there. My sermons, preaching, teaching, my books are on Amazon. I appreciate you making mention of those, and especially want to highlight that declaration, warrantondeclaration.com.
So, From the pastors that you've reached out to, is there any kind of, it's a hard question to ask, because I know that the government has kind of inserted itself into religion, the 501c3, and you always have to follow the money. It's messed up a lot of things, and from healthcare to the NIH, et cetera. Is there anything that, are you having any issues getting pastors to think outside the box, to really say what they need to say to their parishioners and not be afraid of consequences?
Yeah, I think there is some trouble with that. That's part of why the declaration exists, is to educate people, including pastors, on what to think and what to do on this, because it is a biblical issue if we would just sort through it. Mm-hmm. We are having some trouble with it. We're having some pastors who either are hesitant to sign it, or maybe they're scared if they sign it, their people might be upset. I think that's, you mentioned 501c3. Our church is not a, we have a 501c3, but our church itself is not a 501c3. And there are several reasons for that that I can't get into at this point, but a lot of it's money. You said follow the money. Absolutely. You do that with anything and you really figure out how to unravel a situation.
Absolutely.
But I think that's a great point you made. But I think a lot of people are nervous. Some pastors are scared of what people will think. You have people that have different opinions in your church. But I think that's an opportunity for a pastor to stand up and say, well, no, we need to think through this biblically. And you're going to have people who don't want to think through it biblically, and they would just rather think through it through whatever the CDC text says, which changes all of the time. Even recently with their changing their mask recommendation policy again. Wonder who got to them. Follow the money, right?
Yeah.
But I think that this is the difficulty, is trying to get pastors to stop and say, look, your job is to shepherd the people of God. Your job is to preach and teach the biblical worldview, to lead the way and smashing cultural idols and being present for issues of justice, like the preborn slaughter and abortion holocaust. We're to be present. Health for all of life. Here you go. You want to equip your congregation to be healthy, to nutrify, detoxify, energize the body. Here's what you need to do. And I think for some people, many pastors feel like it's outside of their expertise. Seminaries don't teach this stuff. And a lot of pastors, while they are waking up, many are still asleep at the wheel. And, if you're listening to this program and you are in a church where there's been confusion on the issue, go to the declaration, warrensanddeclaration.com, print out the PDF and start passing it out and get the conversation started. I mean, that's the sort of stuff that has to happen.
Mm-hmm.
That's the grassroots efforts where we're trying to energize people and get them to get on the same page so that we can have a coherent theology. I would love to see another Reformation. The Protestant Reformation in the 15th, 16th century took off in Europe. We need another one here. We need a Reformation back to biblical law, understanding what God demands and what God requires. We need to understand the grace we have in Jesus Christ and forgiveness of sins. And we need to understand Christ's lordship in his current session as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords over the nation. So, that's what we need. If I could say it any more emphatically, I'm not sure. But those are the things we need to get back to.
Well, I think voicing that is key, because I think there are more people who believe, who think like we do, who want to have freedom to choose what they put in their body, how they interact with each other, what they need to do to run their family and their life. And they're afraid to speak up, or they think they're alone in some way. So the fact that you're able to say this and we're able to have this conversation, I think it speaks to a lot of people who are looking for a voice and now know that they're not alone, that if they're not with it, it's okay. And there's ways that you can express that. My thing is withdraw your consent. You just stop paying into a system. That means you don't go on Amazon. You don't go on Facebook. These people are trying to silence you. They want you gone. You don't have value to them. You are a problem for them because you highlight the things that they're trying to foist on people and you're not going along with it. So their power is derived from us trying to, well, if I just go on it and it'll be different if I, put my two, it's not going to be different. Just do something else. They only understand money. So if you stop for medicine wise, stop going into these institutions that are just there to give you a shot, give you a drug, don't listen to you. You're not better. Just put you on another med and just, write it on their EMR. You need to go somewhere else where your people are not being paid by the system. They don't have power. The 501c3 that we talked about for religion is the same thing in medicine. These are the people who are on staff, who are taking their salaries from hospitals or getting their money from NIH for their research. They don't have power. They're told to do what they're told to do to get their money. You're inconsequential to them. So if you don't go to these institutions, if you stop giving them your money and your attention and withdraw your consent, they lose their power. And I think that's what they're trying to do. If you get rid of people like you off the internet, scrub you from YouTube, you're the opposition. You're the voice that people would actually go to because it's authentic and it's true. They can't compete with that. They know that they can't compete with that. Therefore, they want to scrub it. That's what people need to realize. Yeah. And once they do that, they're done. Like all these celebrities are trying to tell us, take a shot. I'm like, really? I'm going to listen to some guy, some rapper? Are you serious? This is something I can't change. I can't take out of my body. I'm going to listen to you? Come on. Really? Come on, people.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, it's a brilliant point because it's funny how in our nation you have major institutions are definitely controlled by the humanists. Some call it leftist, although I think even conservatives on the right have adopted some of those principles of humanism through their regulation of abortion instead of abolishing it, for example. But the point you brought up is brilliant because you have all these people who want to, you know, let's take this to the man. We're going to take them down. These are the institutional power holds that we have to get rid of. But they're all controlled by your people. I don't have the power. I don't have the power to silence Mark Zuckerberg. But he can hit the delete key and take my page out, which he did last year. Well, not him personally, but somebody did.
Mm-hmm.
But that's control. That's power. So that's the system that you want them to have the power. That's what they're doing. So what are you doing protesting in the streets, you know, against anti-vaxxers? It's just beyond me how we've ended up in this situation. I mean, I know why, because we're a land of idolaters and we need to repent and come back to the gospel of the kingdom.
I think you've got it absolutely right. It's this idolization or empowering man or something that you, I guess an image, really. These people who are supposed celebrities and these people in power only have it because we give it to them, right? If you didn't see their movies, if you didn't buy their books, if you didn't vote for them, they wouldn't be there. And so we really need to take our power back. They derive it from us and they derive it from God. You know, that's where everything derives from. It's not these people. So if we really have that mentality that who are you? You really don't matter. God matters. And I'm following God's law, God's rule. That changes a lot of the energy. And then you see them for what they are, because what they're trying to do is always get back in. They don't care how they do it. They'll say one thing to get you to, you know, it's like you're playing tennis. You're just looking from one end to the other. Now their thing is to divide and conquer. So we're all different. We're all hyphenated. Someone's a victim. Someone did it to them. And there's nothing you can do to correct it. And therefore, you should hate each other. That's the new thing that they're pulling. And it's really old, I got to say.
Right.
But when it comes down to it, and we're all human, God made us all. And when you start having these conversations, real conversations with people who don't look like you, you realize really quickly, man, we both think the same way. Or we have a lot in common. I didn't realize it. And then it just stops. All this subterfuge just stops. And then when you can see that, no one can take you off of that because it's true.
Yeah, I couldn't say it better. That's great. I agree 100%. We gotta stay on the same page. We gotta fight the same fight. You know, hopefully that something like the Warrington Declaration and some of our efforts will help with that.
I'm sure it is. And again, I know we don't have a lot of time left, but can you tell people how to read the Warrington Declaration? How to follow you on your platforms and get your books?
Sure. Yeah, the declaration is a Warrington, Warrenton, and that's out of Warrenton, Virginia. That's where we're stationed here. WarrentonDeclaration.com. You can read the declaration. You can actually listen to it as well. And most importantly, you can sign it and share it. That's the big thing that we're relying on is word of mouth. We are already seeing it being suppressed on places like Twitter and Facebook, and we're using it until they shut us down. But if you can text it to people, you can email it from there. We have a ton of links for that. It's a very intuitive website. My friend Dustin built it. It's a great website. And sign the declaration, share it out there, and most importantly, download the PDF, print it out, and start giving it to people. Give it to your pastor, give it to your elders, or if you're a pastor, give it to your congregation. Make it a point of contention, something that you have to deal with in your local communities as well. And my blog is jasongarwood.com, and our church is crossclownchurch.com. And those are some of those sites there.
Reverend Garwood, thank you so much for joining me today. I really enjoyed our conversation, and I think it was enlightening and empowering, and I'd love to have you back anytime you want to come on.
Absolutely, Dr. George. Thank you. I'm very happy to be here. Thank you for the opportunity.
My pleasure. And thank you, everybody, for living in the solution.
Revolutionary Talk for Revolutionary Times. Liberty Talk FM.